o'clock hour, which will include former Badgers volleyball star Dana Retke, scheduled to appear. Is she joining us? I don't know the schedule for professional overseas volleyball. Is she joining us from her pro team in, like, Italy?
She was in Madison last Tuesday for the exhibition match, showing off the silver medal from the Olympics.
Okay.
I believe she is stateside.
Okay. Because I am very curious about Vero Valli Milano, which apparently is her current club team. And I'm also curious about how you're going to handle her silver medal. But we need to talk about the Packers' Malik Willis, who I thought was going to lead today's show. Thought that was going to be the topic. What are they going to do now? How do we feel about what they've done with the backup quarterback position? And now it's 10:06, and we're finally getting to Malik Willis. Tausch, what you talking about here about Willis? Good move, bad move, not sure about the move.
So I just think this reiterated the point of, you know, when you have a quarterback that is the guy, like Jordan Love is, you want to develop a young player behind him and hope that they grow into allowing you to feel good about having to play them if there's something that goes on. You're not going to have, you're not going to have some next big star. You can develop and grow. Obvious to me, when the Green Bay Packers decided to do this, they did not feel like Sean Clifford is that guy. Because Sean Clifford's not a finished product, but I think they saw enough that they didn't feel good about him developing into that. And when that's the case, then you look at it and say, is there somebody else that we feel like can develop and maybe become that guy? Malik Willis, was he a first or second round pick with Tennessee?
He was a third round pick, actually.
Third round
86th pick. 86th overall.
I know he was. He was looked at pretty highly in that.
He was.
Was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
2 years ago.
He slipped a little bit. And, you know, okay, so Goody is always going to look for value. And when he does not feel like there's something, it's just as harsh that there's not anything to hang on to because you don't feel like the ceiling is going to be high enough, you look for another project to build up. That's what this is. So does this put the Green Bay Packers in a better situation if, God forbid, something happened to Jordan Love and he missed 3 or 4 weeks? I don't know how anybody could say yes, because Sean Clifford's been in the system. He knows it. Malik Willis, while he did he have any exposure with Matt LaFleur? I don't think so. Did he?
He did not, no.
So Malik Willis is coming in here, and he is going to be, all right, I got to get to it. I'm going to learn all this. So this to me is all about, I think this guy's got a high ceiling. We have Tom Clements. We have the opportunity to maybe strike lightning with another quarterback, and then we'll see how that goes. But this was more to me an indictment of where Sean Clifford was at than, oh my gosh, we have to get Malik Willis in here. That's more of what it felt like to me.
So, all right, help me with a couple things here. First of all, you know more about financial stuff than I do. Would we call him a distressed asset? Isn't that what he is here? Former day two pick, lot of talent, at least in terms of evaluation coming out of college. And, look, he got caught in a situation in Tennessee where there was a regime change. Right, John Robinson was the GM who drafted him in 22. He gets fired before the end of the 22 season. They bring in a new GM. This year they've got a new coach in addition to that. But they bring in a new GM and Rand Carthon. They draft Will Levis with the first pick of the second round last year. That's their guy. That's the new regime's guy. So you've got Malik Willis, but
Didn't Sean Clifford beat out Will Levis at Penn State?
Correct. And that's how Will Levis
ended world,
up
huh?
at Kentucky. Yeah, it's the circle of quarterback life. But the bottom line is he was in a situation where they didn't want him. So you get a guy for a seventh-round pick, which, as we have been reiterating earlier in the program, is valuable. They used the seventh-round pick on Michael Pratt out of Tulane this past draft. So we'll see. I would think that Pratt now would be the guy that they would have on their practice squad, if he, assuming he clears waivers, yeah, which I would think he will.
That would be my guess.
And then you promote him on game day to be the backup because he knows the offense at least, as opposed to Malik Willis by the time they get to Brazil. Yes, no, maybe,
yeah,
so.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that'll be the tricky part, but that you just wonder, and I know you can't go into a game thinking, I need my backup quarterback. You hope,
sure,
that the backup quarterback is up to the task, but this just reiterates that, you know, if you're going to win a championship, Jordan Love needs to stay healthy. If you don't, do you feel good that you're going to be able to go 2-2 if he's out for four games?
So I got into a bit of a debate yesterday about this.
Healthy debate.
Yeah, I would say it was largely healthy. Because here's why. So the my theory on this, and we spent a lot of time, we did our poll question. It was great to see our poll get back over 1,000 votes, by the way. That was really heartwarming for me to see. But the whole idea was, do you go out and get a guy that has experience that can play if Jordan Love gets hurt and misses a handful of games? And we kind of settled on Taylor Heinicke as our guy.
Yeah.
Still young.
Yep.
Going to be, I mean, we don't know if Atlanta's going to release him or not or trade him or not, but that's our guy. Heinicke.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's all because he came in here and played a good game against Green Bay. That's why we all think that way.
He had some other games, too.
I understand, but we're total prisoner of the Packer moment. He came in, had a really nice game.
He's done more than Malik Willis has in the NFL.
Yes, he has.
Almost beat Brady in a playoff game.
All right, so my point is that was the kind of guy we were expecting. And this all kind of started with a conversation on Twitter where Badger Noonan was saying, and this was really, I thought, a very good point by him, so I give him credit. I just agreed with him. And that is, if you want to bring in Malik Willis as a developmental quarterback, fine, but you already have a developmental quarterback in Michael Pratt. That's why you drafted him. So you didn't really fix what we thought was the problem, which was you don't have a guy that could come in and win games for you if you need him to. Because Malik Willis isn't there yet, as demonstrated by his time in Tennessee. Now, then we went back and forth, and my good close personal friend Aaron Nagler of Cheesehead TV argued that this is where Matt LaFleur comes in. And if something comes and happens to Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur is a smart enough game planner that he can create a game plan that they can win with Malik Willis. Well,
or
in 2021, he didn't put together a game plan they could win with Jordan Love.
No, he could not. Or I think maybe there's a part of Matt LaFleur that is thinking, if something happens, I can go grab a Tannehill or someone that is a veteran that's still out there, and we can game plan with them to win. So it's, and again, this analogy is just coming, so it might not be great. But
way to lower the bar.
Well, I had to because I'm not 100% sure where I want to go with this. But you should always have a fire extinguisher in your kitchen, right? Just in case somebody doesn't put water in a ramen noodle cup and the microwave blows up. Or something spills on the stove. Or you have turkey drippings getting in your oven. And
sounds like a lot of examples of fires.
So you can get by with maybe taking a towel and whipping it and stopping it. But you want to have an extinguisher there, right? You want to have that security there. Well, right now Green Bay is looking at it saying, well, if there's a grease fire, if there's some type of fire, we'll hope we can get it out with a rag or with some water. But we don't have an answer that's going to be sustainable. We'll have something that maybe will get it done, but probably we're just going to hope to survive. We need something a little bit more. So I think a Tannehill is your extinguisher. Willis is more like a towel that you're just going to try to put the fire out with.
No, 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 no.
Spray some Heineke on that fire.
Sean Clifford was the towel. Malik Willis is
some would say Sean Clifford might have been gasoline, in fairness.
Some might say.
That was Brett Hundley.
Malik Willis is the fire extinguisher, which may not be enough to put out the fire. And Ryan Tannehill is the fire department showing
up. Okay.
What do you think of that? Is that helpful?
That's better.
RTFP.
It's okay. I like mine better, but I'm okay with that.
Totally fair. All right. So we will talk more about Malik Willis and the Packers' plans there. I'm curious if you are intrigued, if you're excited. Do you buy this argument that Matt LaFleur can take a Malik Willis and create a game plan that they can win with him, given what his track record to this point is in the National Football League? We'll ask all those questions and get the... you're supposed to save that answer. But we need to get to trivia because I want to get to Dana Roetke on time. Because when you have a silver medalist or a gold medalist like Matt Hamilton, although we would never try to get him on time, we don't care that much about him. But I would like to get to Dana on time. So, Jesse, we haven't talked a lot about Malik Willis, which is a good sign, I suppose, because it means that we haven't given away a lot of the trivia answers since he's the subject. Is that right?
Not just him, but there's some other Maliks. Maliking the story is today's trivia category.
Oh, leaking. Yeah, not the same as vomiting.
Order action.
Questions about people named Malik.
All right. Well, we don't know what number Malik is going to wear for the Packers. We don't know what his jersey number will be, but
17 might be available twice.
Oh, burn.
That's actually pretty good. There you go. We'll do 17. Caller 17. You brought it upon yourself. Caller 17, 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller 17 for Wilde and Tausch. Trivia, I want to remind you, speaking of making calls, one call, that's all when it comes to David Gruber and Gruber Law Offices. That's the slogan, but it's so much more than that. It allows you to rest easy knowing that once you've made the call, you are taken care of by the best firm in the business. Go to the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more about the firm, about David's history, about everything they do in the community. And if you need that representation, make the call. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. We will play trivia next with caller 18. 17. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Before we get to trivia and a very special guest star of trivia, although she won't be joining us in either of our home studios, unlike the Gruber Law Offices One Call, that's all studios in Milwaukee. Bill Huber, hardest working man in show business when it comes to these cuts. He's constantly working the phones, texting like a crazy man. A few more releases per Bill Huber of Sports Illustrated. Joel Wilson, the tight end. So the Packers now down to two Wilsons and three on their roster. Eric Wilson, linebacker. Emmanuel Wilson, running back. And then some sad news. Jaylen Wayne, who is Reggie Wayne's cousin, wide receiver released, and Luke Tenuta. So the days of discuss it. Maybe he'll be back on the practice squad. We'll see. Earlier cuts also that have been reported by Bill and others. Caleb Jones, the tackle, yeah, who had been on scholarship for a few years. Pretty good sign
big
for Kadeem Telfert, I have a feeling. Mm-hmm. But we'll have to wait and see. All right, let's get to trivia. Let's welcome in our contestant.
Ed, I believe Samari Toure. I don't know if we've mentioned him. I think
we have not mentioned Samari Toure. He has also been a numbers game on that one. He was probably
Jesse,
eighth,
that's where you should play the numbers game soundtrack.
No.
Okay.
Bring that back. All right, let's play some trivia. Let's welcome our contestant.
You know what? I need to get back there and run that screen. I've been hitting that numbers game sounder. For sure.
It's not even on the page. You would have no idea where to find it.
That's true.
Let's welcome in Jack Rabbit Mama to
trivia. Great places, South Dakota.
Good morning, Jack Rabbit Mama. How are you today?
I am very well, thank you.
It's great to have you. Let's play some trivia. The category is Malik-ing the story. Question number one is this. At which of these schools did Malik Willis play college football? Was it the University of Life? Was it Liberty University? Or Pursuit of Happiness Academy?
Great. Just using my best deductive reasoning, I'm going to go with B, Liberty University.
Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness. Jesse, great first question. And yes, you are correct. Tausch, you got question two.
All right.
Perfect week.
Which of these, what do you got, Jesse?
Just saying it's perfect week is all. Four for four.
Putting the pressure on.
Yeah, trying to get Jackrabbit Mama. All right, which of these former Aaron Rodgers teammates, farts, with the Green Bay Packers is also teammates with Rodgers, for now, on the New York Jets? Is it Malik Heath, Malik Taylor, or Malik Andrews?
I think that's Malik Taylor.
You know. Great places, South Dakota.
Question three. In Malik-ing the story is this. New York Giants rookie wide receiver Malik Nabers was a 2023 All-American playing college football at which SEC school? Was it Alabama, Tennessee, or LSU?
Oh, this is going to be a complete shot in the dark. I'm going to go with Tennessee.
Unfortunately, the streak ends.
That's Jesse's fault. That's not JR.
That was hard. That's a hard question.
Jack Rabbit, JRM?
JRM.
Yeah, I'm glad we could help. Correct answer, LSU. LSU from Malik Nabers. Mm-hmm. All right, Jack Rabbit Mama, you got two out of three. That means you got three of the possible four entries into Friday's drawing. We'd love to chat more, but we got to get to Dana Retke, the Badgers volleyball star and Olympic silver medalist. She's scheduled to appear next. So thanks for playing. We appreciate your loyalty to the show.
Thanks. Love you guys.
I love you guys.
Offer.
Not everybody gets in on the first ballot.
Okay.
We'll have to wait and see. What we hopefully will do next is talk to Dana Retke about Badgers volleyball. She is scheduled to appear next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Slow down on Monday, not a sound. On Wednesday, might get loud. On Friday, but on Saturday, we paint the town. Lose my sense of time or two. We
University of Wisconsin volleyball team tips off its regular season. Right, Jesse? Them beating your alma mater, that was just an exhibition game.
Yeah, it was just the tune-up last week, yeah.
Not that we would besmirch Bradley University having produced you, but...
You would.
That's what I hear on Twitter, that I'm mean to you. But I'm not. And I'm not... I'm not sure how we managed to get Dana Roetke. I know that the current Badgers were unavailable because they're, you know, getting ready for tonight's opener at Louisville at the, what do they call that arena?
The KFC Yum Center.
Yum.
Yeah. Yum, yum.
Well, I'm glad I don't have to write that in any game stories for my job. So we got instead a silver medalist and one of the Badgers legends who we all watched in our house earn a silver medal, because I have a volleyball player who, unfortunately for her, has two parents under 6 feet, so they will not be as tall as Dana Roetke and will not be a middle blocker. She'll be a libero at best. But it is Dana Roetke on Wilding Tausch. Dana, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm great.
I used to love the show Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Where in the world is Dana Roetke right now? You've been in Paris, you've been in Madison, Milan,
everywhere. I was in New York, I was in Boston, and now I am home in Chicago. So it's very nice to be home. Chicago is like the best summer city, so I'm just trying to soak up a little bit of home while I can.
Where do you go next? How long do you get to be home?
So I'm home for 2 more weeks, which is honestly in the world of professional volleyball, it's kind of unheard of to have 4 weeks off. But this year I'll be playing with a new club team in Istanbul, Turkey, called Azadjabashi, and I'm really excited. This is my first club change of my career, and I think it's going to be a good move and a great fit, so I'm really excited for that opportunity. It's my first time living in Istanbul, so it'll be a new experience.
Jason, can you spell that? Can you say that again, Dana? It's what's
no.
The name of that team?
No, the answer is no.
It's Azadjabashi.
Can you spell it?
Can I get one of the jerseys? Can I get my Roetke jersey?
I get close. I mix up a couple of letters. I know it's like E-Z-C-A-S-I. I think there's like a C-I-B-I. It's S-I, something like that. Azadjabashi?
Okay.
Like that.
Jesse was going to give me the bell either way.
I can't tell if she's wrong.
I get the middle couple letters mixed up, but we're getting there.
I have the same problem with Wisconsin. All right, so how does this work for you? Because we do have professional leagues now, and I want to get to the Badgers, obviously, starting the season.
Yeah.
But how does this, you know, you're an Olympic silver medalist. We know what a legend you were at Wisconsin. But how does the professional world work? I know Jordan Love's fiance, Ronica Stone, plays for a team in San Diego, and I don't think she's doing the international game anymore. So how does this work for you personally?
Yeah, I think right now it's really just a personal choice and where you're at in your life and what kind of season of life you're in. For me personally, I really enjoy being overseas. I love the experience that I'm getting. I feel like this is the only time in my life that I'll be able to have these experiences, like living in Italy, living in Turkey, being able to kind of live my life and have a completely different experience than what I'm used to. And I've really fallen in love with that challenge and that lifestyle. So I'm not ready to come back to America yet. I also just think that for the time being, that the best professional volleyball is still being played over in Europe. And I think I'm at a point in my career where I still need to be playing with the best and against the best every day. And in games and practices, and I think that I'm still growing a lot as a volleyball player. So I think that it's just kind of like a professional decision for me as well. But that is not to take away from all the great things that are happening in America with volleyball, because I am so stoked for the leagues that are starting. I'm so excited that volleyball has finally gained traction here. And there's no doubt in my mind that at some point, it's not right now, but at some point in the next 5 to 10 years, that this league in America is going to be one of the strongest, if not the strongest in the world, because I think that just like it's a great opportunity for me to go and play overseas, it's a great opportunity for foreigners to come here and play in America and have that experience as well. So, and it's already gained traction. I know a couple of my teammates from Italy are going to be coming here and playing in Love here. And so it's just really exciting. It's a really exciting time for our sport, and seeing how people are just so interested, and it's growing so much, not only at the college level, but like transferring that to the professional level. And now you really just don't have to choose. I think before all of this, you really had to choose between your professional life or your personal life. Mm-hmm. And now this is an opportunity to be able to explore both at the same time, which is kind of like unprecedented in our profession. So I'm really excited about the opportunity. I'm really excited for everyone that's a part of it. I'm excited to follow along. Just for me personally, in this moment, I didn't think it was the right move right now.
Dana, why do you think things have changed? Has there been like one thing that has changed this? Because I know Kelly Sheffield, your old coach, has had a big hand in getting more games on ESPN and on Fox in the Big Ten. But what has changed that is kind of in the U.S. or I guess just in general that's made volleyball elevate itself?
I think that people are just watching and they think it's really fun to watch, finally. I mean, that starts with accessibility, right? That starts with having games on TV. People are flipping through the TV trying to find something to watch. Oh, watch this volleyball game. And then there's so many friends that I've had that I feel like I'm begging on my hands and knees to come to a match, and they come to one match and they're hooked. Like, it is just such a fun sport. There's so much energy. It's so fast paced. It's a good length of time that you're watching. And it's just, there's a lot going on, and it's just really impressive what we can do and what all the positions can do. They're all so unique and so different from each other, but it all needs to work together to form this product and this like amazing art. And so I just think that people are finally taking notice. For sure, the accessibility part of it is a big piece of that. But I think that when you put it in front of people, they will watch and they will come. And so, yeah, I think that's a huge part of why volleyball has been growing to what it is today. And I think that there's just been like massive pioneers in the sport, of course. Like, you have head coaches that are putting on these events and breaking records, and like, I feel like college volleyball is the most physical it's ever been. So the game is growing. I think it's changed since I've even been in college, and I graduated 3 years ago. So it's really, really cool to see how fast volleyball has grown and the interest that it's piqued among fans, among players as well, young kids that just want to play the sport. So yeah, I think it's kind of a combination of things, but it's really cool. I'm glad that people are finally catching on.
Dana, I'm curious, because of your background, right? You played basketball growing up, and then and correct me if I'm wrong, because it's been a while since you were here and I was reading about you in the State Journal, but you didn't start even playing volleyball till you were like a freshman. Is that right?
Yeah, 15. When I was 15 is when I really started playing like competitively. So like joined a club and made it like an extracurricular for myself, like growing up. And for a volleyball player, that's really, I feel like for any athlete, that's really, really late. But I just kind of fell in love with the grind, and I fell in love with like getting better at the sport. And yeah.
So the reason I bring it up is,
cool.
And it's not just because, you know, I have an eighth grader who loves volleyball and loves basketball, but I'll say this, there's something about volleyball and the connectivity of a team, and if you're not paying attention, it's hard to tell if your team won the point or lost the point because you guys come together after every play. Like, there's something about it that I can tell that the passion is a little bit different for Sydney, but I'm curious if you just, looking at the way the game has evolved in your short time in it, you've seen things. Like, I was at, Sydney went to Kelly's camp, and being there and seeing all these girls there and them breaking the attendance record for this year, like, it just feels like it has such great momentum. And as you mentioned, the game mm-hmm. tonight is on TV. It's on ESPN2. So people just mm-hmm. weren't exposed to it enough. You think that's all it took was greater exposure to allow it to grow the way it is now?
I mean, I think it's helped immensely. I think that's a really big part of it. But I also just think that you have athletes that you haven't seen before in the sport, and it's really drawing the attention of fans. And I always just think that, like, greatness will, like, attract fans and attract popularity. But again, like, I just think it's such an exciting sport to watch. Like you said, there is an energy, there's a community, there's, like, a sense of unity that I just don't think you see in other team sports. Because truly, I always think of it in a way of, like, basketball. You can really have one player dominate a game. We see it time and time again. And you can also see this in volleyball, but it takes, I personally believe it takes so many more pieces, because I feel like on a volleyball team, you are truly as strong as your weakest link. And I think when you have that mentality and you have that kind of in the back of your mind, like, everyone wants you, everyone kind of gets pulled up to a certain level and creates this sense of community, this passion, this, like, excitement. There's definitely a different energy in volleyball than there is in any other team sport, in my opinion. And I think it's just really fun to watch. A lot of energy, a lot of just, like, celebrating, a lot of joy. And there's time for that in this sport when, like, say in basketball, you know, the clock's ticking, you gotta go. Yeah. So I just think that it's really attractive on many different levels.
All right. So a couple things before we let you go, because I could ask you another hour and a half worth of questions. The Badgers obviously tip off the season tonight. We obviously are the home for the radio broadcast. How closely are you able to stay connected to the program? I know you were there for the exhibition game and you had your silver medal with you, but, like, I don't know. Are you able to access ESPN Madison in Istanbul? Have you looked into that yet? And just what's your connection level with the team now that you're the person that the women that are on this team now are aspiring to become?
Yeah, I would say that, well, for starters, like, I'm still very close with everyone in the program, especially my coaches. Kelly and I keep in contact quite frequently, and I keep in touch with Britt and Gary and Anne and Jess, everyone that's part of the program, I definitely still keep in touch with. And then, obviously, the players. This is actually the last year of Badgers that, like, I've played with on the team. And so this year I'm, which is, like, just crazy, number one, but also, like, two, I'm really excited for them. And I'm always, like, tuned in to the matches whenever it is. Like, of course, I live on the other side of the world, so, like, I'm not waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning to watch the games every single time, but when it's the big ones, for sure, like, I really do set an alarm and I wake up and I just peek at my phone. Just gotta buy a little VPN and it works just fine. But yeah, I talk to the girls, honestly, I believe a decent amount, and they always know that I'm a resource for them if they ever want to just chat or, like, bounce ideas off of me or something's frustrating, they want to talk through it. I've had a couple of girls call me. I had a really great conversation with Devin over the winter, and so, yeah, like, I really do view them as, like, my little sisters in a sense, and it's just cool to see how, like, they're all grown up and, like, running this program, and it's, like, they're doing a great job of it, and I'm so excited to watch the way that they're able to put together a really nice season this year, and just wish them all the best. And I'll be watching every step of the way, honestly. I'm going to go over to my grandma's house tonight, and we're going to watch the match together, so I'm really excited about that.
All right, well, be careful, because Jesse loves to delegate, and he's the pregame host, but if he has someone else who could fill in, be careful, because he's already got you connected on video, so we might put you to work later tonight. I do have one difficult question that I want to ask you, because this has been a pet peeve of mine, and Tausch and I have talked about it from time to time here. You know, I don't pretend to know you extremely well, but I'm certainly familiar with your career. Lauren Carlini has been on our show multiple times. I don't know if there's many people more competitive than her, right? I got to meet Sarah Franklin and the members of this year's team at the camp. And I almost get the sense, and look, I've been a sports writer for longer than you've been alive. I almost get the sense that there are times when a team like the Badgers last year, coming up short of winning a title, that there's almost this kind of, oh, well, it's okay, they did their best kind of a thing. And knowing competitors, that's not how you guys look at it. And so you guys obviously won the title, but, like, I'm wondering where you feel like the line of demarcation is for criticism when a great team and a great program falls short, because we crush the Packers when they don't make it to a Super Bowl. Now, you grew up in Chicago, so you're used to losing being around the Bears. But
oh, burn. Wow.
That could change. That could change.
It's this year, though, Dana, right? Is this your year?
Listen, my dad's not here right now, so I can say this. I am a Packers supporter.
Come on over. Yeah, we knew it.
By default. I am a Bears fan by default, but I do support the Packers. I've been to Lambeau more than I've been to Soldier Field, so we don't have to throw shade. Just don't tell my dad. My dad would kick me out of my house.
All right, we will not let him know, and we will not send him the link to today's podcast. So perfect. I guess what I'm asking is, as a competitor, like obviously the level of frustration while also being overjoyed with what you accomplished at the Olympics, you're pissed that you lost, right? So I'm guessing, how do you kind of process the expectations and the responsibility that you and so many other female athletes have of growing your game? Because you watch the explosion that's occurred, criticism does come with more popularity too. So I guess I'm just curious. I probably did a terrible job of explaining this, but I did get a shot in at the Bears, so I did okay. I'm just curious how you view it.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of layers to this answer. We just experienced something very similar. We, as a Team USA in the Olympics, we made it to the gold medal match and lost, and it wasn't a pretty match. it was a sweep. And I think in those moments, first there's like the sadness, the anger, the, missed opportunity part of things, right? And I think there becomes this level of acceptance of like, okay, like, we're okay. Like, this is like, it sucks and it hurts. But like at the end of the day, like if the other team is better, hats off to them. And so I think there's a level of acceptance to that. But with that level of acceptance, I think comes this hunger and this drive and this, like, just, you got so close and you weren't able to finish the job. Then I think comes this competitive, like, oh, like, you're not doing that to me again. Like, I'm going to be working my ass off, doing whatever I have to do to make sure that we're back on top, and I just think, I think it's almost just like this, like, it sounds really dramatic, like this grievance cycle, right? Like, there's this acceptance and then there's the action after it. And I think athletes would do themselves an injustice to put all of the weight of their sport and of the fan base on their shoulders, because at the end of the day, we're doing our jobs. If you're the case of the Badgers, like, they're there and they're playing volleyball, they're there to represent their university to the best that they possibly can and get their education. Like, that's the baseline of it. Of course, it's way more than that for everyone emotionally, mentally, and all of that. But when you take all the emotion out of it, that's where you're at. And I think that the acceptance of what had happened needs to happen for that, like, tenacious energy, that competitive fire, that spirit, that, like, hunger needs to come. That's how it gets there, through that acceptance. And so, yeah, I don't know if I did a good job of explaining that, but, like, it's definitely a process. It's a process to kind of get to that. But, like, once you've sat with it a little bit and, like, came up with a plan to then create action, that's where I think that I'm like, I get the most hungry and I get the most competitive and I get the most like, this isn't happening again, because you're able to sit, you're able to reflect with it, you learn from your experience. Like, I always say that you either, like, what's the saying that we always say? It's like, you either win or you learn, you know? Right. So I think that there's just so much to learn from these situations, not only about like the game, but yourself. And it becomes more than that. But yes, we all hate losing. Nobody wants to do it. And we want to make everyone proud. And sometimes it's just not the case. But at the same time, I'm like, wow, we won a silver medal. Like, that's incredible.
Well,
maybe that's a little bit of a different view than most athletes, but I feel like I'm very realistic in some cases.
You did an outstanding job of answering a poorly worded question. All right, last thing. I saw that Sarah Franklin has an NIL deal with a law firm. I saw her in a commercial during the Packers preseason game. I'm curious, since you were kind of at the, I don't know how much NIL opportunity you had before you left. Was there a partnership that you would have liked to have had as a college player that would have been valuable to you during your time in Madison?
Yeah, but I don't know. The first semester of NIL was my last semester. So that was like when we won the championship. I would have loved to have some sort of deal with one of my favorite restaurants in Madison. We were always Old Fashioned goers, Great Dane goers.
Okay.
All of that. That was our post game.
Taush had Wando's.
They're always open a little late.
Taush would have had Wando's.
Wando's. Oh my gosh. Yes. but yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to fathom that, because that just wasn't even a part of my college experience. I had a couple of deals. I had one great one that I was really passionate about with Degree, and loved the message that they were saying, and that was great. But I don't think I can fully understand what that space looks like right now in college athletics, because it is just insane. So
nobody
I don't know if I have a great answer for you there. I'm sorry.
It's wild. We just wanted to have a little fun. All right, so we now know that you'll be able to get the audio version, at least, of Badger volleyball matches on our air. Let Jesse know how we can tune in to your team in Istanbul.
Yeah, Dana, I don't know if you know this, but you basically, by nodding your head and saying, yeah, I'm up, Jesse is going to basically just randomly send you a message and you're going to be on air. That's how this goes.
And I'm going to be on air. You know what? I love a good challenge. A little sneak attack. Got to keep me on my feet. I like it.
Sneak attack.
I think for us, honestly, I don't really know yet how you can stream our matches for Izajabashi. I believe it's going to be on YouTube. You can see them on YouTube. I think if you just type in Izajabashi.
Yeah, you just got to search it.
Just type that in. That.
Yeah, we just got to learn how to spell it.
Yes, exactly.
Once we figure out how to spell it, we'll search it.
We can all learn together. It'll be great. And then we can, we can break down some film if you want. We can do whatever.
I smell a podcast. Okay. Exactly.
There we go.
Dana, we appreciate you so much. Thanks for making time for us. We're excited for your next chapter. And don't be a stranger. And I know you won't be, because Jesse will be calling you in a week. Thank you.
Perfect. Of course. Thank you guys so much.
It is pretty awesome when we're able to have some of the all-time goats of Badger volleyball join us. That is Dana Retke. We will talk a little more Badger volleyball a little bit later in the program. We do need to get back to some of our Packers conversation as well. That's all still ahead. Stick around. It's Wilde and Taush.
This is Wilde and Taush, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Thanks to Dana Retke. Jesse, have you started looking up her new team and getting a correct spelling for us so we can search it on YouTube at some point?
Taush is the spelling guy around here. I thought he would be
I love spelling now.
Get this down.
But I ain't going to lie to you. I would not come close to spelling that.
Didn't feel like one he could sound out
even
either.
In the ballpark. No.
So, Jesse, give us the radio schedule for tonight's tip-off of the Badgers volleyball season, as they number 3 ranked Badgers travel to the Yum Center in Louisville to face the 6th ranked Cardinals. Yum, yum.
So coverage does start at 7:30 tonight on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, and 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. Everywhere you're listening to this show, you also get the volleyball game tonight starting at 7:30. It is the first of a doubleheader on ESPN2. So Nebraska, Kentucky is up first. So the posted start time of the match is actually pretty flexible. It might start just after 8 o'clock. It also might start closer to 9 o'clock, depending how long the first match goes. So
Long pregame for Jelly, that
could
means.
Be a long pregame.
It's a lot of airtime.
Could be a long pregame as we get
probably
to set
means
tonight.
Jesse's taking off tomorrow, would be my guess.
I am not on tomorrow's show tomorrow.
Whoa, really? Who's your sub?
Riley will be in. Riley will step in once again. Yep.
We'll get to relive his call.
Kind of wish he'd step in right now, honestly.
Because everyone's being mean to you from what I see on Twitter.
Oh,
well,
poor little
Jesse. Taush will buy you a Coors Light, and everything will be better because the Blue Mountains make everything better.
Indeed it does. Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill. And when you're listening to Jesse breaking down volleyball before the game tonight on our air, crack open a Coors Light. It's brewed with that. It's cold-activated bottles and cans. Make sure they're blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. That's why it is always Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right, I want to get back to Malik Willis. And there's a tweet here. I don't understand what his handle means because I don't know what this word is, so I don't want to say it on the radio and then get in trouble. So whoever this person is, he's on X, Twitter.
Okay.
But he makes an interesting point about the backup quarterback position, and I'm curious to bounce it off of Taush. I will do that to kick off the 11 o'clock hour, which will happen in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wildy and Taush.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Taush, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.